In a world full of voices, blocking out the noise is vital. The Bible is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, this show is dedicated to providing you with a clear sound of the Scriptures, which are inspired by the Spirit of God and passed down by apostles and prophets. I am your host, Delivering the Heat, Gerald Joseph, a preacher and avid student of the Word, and you are now listening to the Holy Fuel Podcast. Welcome once more to the Holy Fuel Podcast. So excited that you have been with me on this journey. It's been fun so far. I've been having a good time. I hope you've also been having a good time as we go through the book of Joshua. Now, I know with our upload rate, we upload a video every other week. So this probably is going at a slow pace for a lot, but I really just hope you enjoy the ride, enjoy the scenery, look around, dig deep into certain little nuances that are in the passages, and really like help your Bible study. You know, one of the biggest things that you ought to realize with Bible study is that, you know, it's not always a one size fits all. You know, because with Bible study, there's various things in the text that you have to, you know, take notice to. And I know for me personally, I really like to kind of marinate on certain little nuances that you see, especially when there is a repetitive nature. And this episode is going to be no different. You know, we just went over the posture of victory. And what we learned is that, you know, the walls of Jericho actually fell, not because of any particular, you know, thing that they did, but truly it was because of obedience to God. You know, sometimes God will make you do some strange things, but those strange things are only because the Lord wants to know. And get this, listen closely. The Lord wants to know that you are wholly devoted and submitted to Him, because truly that is a tree of life. And if you catch what I'm saying, or you're picking up what I'm putting down, what I'm simply saying is that whatever God commands, whatever God says, if we agree with God, we are deemed as righteous, just like the Bible says about Abram. It says, Abram believed God, and it was counted toward him as righteousness. And so really, one of the big things that you grasp from the biblical narrative is that it takes faith. It takes trusting God at His word. It takes obedience to God, no matter how crazy it may sound, because that solidifies righteousness. Righteousness is not necessarily just following a rule book. Righteousness is agreeing with God. And in turn, a righteous person will be obedient to God, because if God says not to do something, they believe Him. And in that believing God, they will abstain from that thing, because they believe God means the best for them. You know, it's so crazy. Here I am already going off on a tangent. Please, I do apologize for that. I have a tendency of chasing rabbits, especially when it comes to Scripture. But nonetheless, the walls of Jericho fell down and the people went in and they took the city. And in this episode, we're just going to close out chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. But before I read it, I want to kind of lay a bit of some groundwork. I think it's important to realize that in the demolition of the city of Jericho, this walled city, we can't forget someone. Because in Joshua chapter 2, we had two spies that went to spy out the city, and the woman that took care of them and made sure that they came back in one piece, her name was Rahab. We spoke of Rahab in, I think it was episode 3 of our journey through Joshua. And one thing you realize in her name, it means there is room. And in God's family, there is room for anyone who would take God at his word and believe him. And instead of fighting against God, join God's team. Because truly, that is how you escape disaster. And disaster and deliverance is exactly what I want to talk about today, or better yet, deliverance from disaster. But we've got to remember about Rahab. So let's do what we always do. And we're going to read Joshua chapter 6, verse 20 to 27. And here's what it says. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. And so that's the reading in this episode, I guess. We're going to tackle something that might be a little uncomfortable for many. Because what you see in this is kind of a lot of gore, but at the same time, you see Rahab and her household being spared. And many times I've had conversations with people, we've talked about the Old Testament, the New Testament, and everyone seems to come to the conclusion that somehow there seems to be a difference, because God seems to be so angry, mean, and judgy in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's almost like you get a kind Jesus, a Jesus who will not harm a fly. You get a Jesus who is so kind and compassionate that we fail to realize that it is the same God of both Testaments. And here's the newsflash: God has never changed. Even the Bible lets us know that he remains the same. He never changes. And in the New Testament, it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what is the whole deal with this stark seeming contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament? You see a lot of bloodshed happens in the Old Testament. You see the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it seems that they face the retribution of God. They face the hotness of his anger when God brings burning coals down on the twin cities. Or we see the ancient world, how the ancient world was destroyed by the great flood. Or we might even go to Egypt and Israel, the children of Israel, I should say. And you see this idea, you see this pattern that happens in the biblical text. And you know what? It actually continues on into the New Testament. And what it is God bringing disaster. And this messes with a lot of our minds, because we think a good and loving God should not bring disaster. I believe it's in Isaiah where the Lord says, I create calamity. Or I think it's when, what's her name? Hannah sings her song to the Lord. And Hannah says, the Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. See, I think we need to come to the realization that God is the sovereign ruler of all creation. That means nothing is hidden from his sight. That means God doesn't just let the world run like setting a clock. No, God is very involved in his creation. God is keeping tabs on everything and everyone. And I hope to convey this today, because now is the time in which God is going to judge the land of Canaan, and God is going to deliver the children of Israel and give them this land that he is stripping away from the descendants of Canaan. Now, this may seem uncomfortable. This may seem like an issue that God is taking this land away from Canaan, who dwelt there, and giving it to a people that did not plant the vineyards thereof, people that didn't plant the trees that are there, people who didn't build the houses that are there. And it seems unfair, but one thing to realize is that this is not without reason. One of the big things to understand of God is that God does not simply do things for nothing. No, God is keeping tabs of all of his creation. God is taking names and numbers. And let's not forget that whenever the nakedness of Noah was uncovered, that Noah cursed the son of Ham. And his name was Canaan. You see, one thing you've got to understand about deliverance and disaster is that God does things in their proper times, in their proper seasons, and it's always warranted. Nothing is by accident. God is the one who sees everything from the end to the beginning. He sees it all. He sees it all from his perspective, and his perspective is perfect. You see, whenever God destroyed the ancient world, understand this, that the world was exceedingly wicked. Evil was being proliferated, and everything that man did was evil. And because of that evil, God quote unquote, repented. And he said, I will thus destroy the world. But I want you to notice something, because the Bible says, but Noah found grace. That means even in the midst of disaster, there is still grace. That means you need to understand that God is not as one-dimensional as you might read from the print on a page. You have to realize that God is doing everything simultaneously, all at once, and God can bring both deliverance and disaster at the same time. With the same blow, God can give victory and God can give destruction. God can bring blessing and God can bring calamity. You've got to realize that there is this dichotomy with God. And God answers to no one. And the reason he answers to no one is because he's sovereign. He is the only one who is able to bring this kind of retribution. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And we find Paul telling us in the New Testament that we are not to take vengeance for ourselves. Vengeance is something that only God can do. Only God can bring judgment. Only God can bring disaster. But even in the midst of disaster, God brings deliverance. And this happens with Rahab, because Rahab found favor with God. Rahab made a pact with those two spies, and she was dealing kindly with them. And as a result of her kind dealings with them, they swore to her that she would be spared. And the reality is that even in the destruction of Jericho, what we come to find is that Rahab and all that she has, because of her faith and because of her obedience, she was spared, though the city was demolished. It is this friction. It is this thing that seems so opposed, but yet works together with God. I want you to realize something, because the same thing that brought destruction on the world, the flood, is the same thing that brought deliverance to Noah and his family, where 8 souls were saved. Because though the water drowned all those who were not righteous, that water is what kept the ark afloat. You've got to understand something about God. God doesn't do anything without first considering everything. And that is the key. Because if God is bringing destruction on a city, a people, or a place, always understand that the destruction is rightly warranted. It always seems like God's character is what's on trial, when many will compare the Old Testament and the New Testament. But here, I just want to tear down this false perception, because this false perception kind of gets us in trouble, because we have this one-dimensional mind about God. But realize that God sees what you can't see. God knows what you don't know. God does what you can't do. And we need to understand, he is God. I am not. And so as we continue to move on, I think we need to realize something. Because God makes a distinction. And the thing to realize is, I think, whenever the situation is Sodom and Gomorrah, I think we need to pay close attention to the story that's in the Bible in Genesis 18 and 19, because we know that that's those twin cities experienced God's wrath to a whole new level. But notice this, because the Lord, along with two angels, came and visited Abram. And it's almost as if the Lord was simply passing by, because the Lord was going to take care of business. And what's so interesting about this is that it says this, when the Lord speaks to Abram, it says, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. Do you remember when Cain killed his brother? And the Lord, instead of just dealing judgment on Cain, the Lord says to Cain, where is your brother? And he makes a statement. His blood is crying out from the ground. And this is the reality about God, is that God checks every base before he ever brings calamity. You see, the twin cities were going to face his wrath, but God first examines, God first measures, he sees how far they have gone, he sees what has been done, he knows the depth of their sin, the depth of their depravity, and in this, God makes the decision to judge. And I think it is Abraham who asks the money question, and here is that question: would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Because this is really where you would have to understand God's character so you can be at peace with God's decision. And the thing is, though he doesn't have to answer to anyone, he reasons with Abraham. And Abraham is wondering, God, surely you won't kill or destroy the righteous with the wicked. And the Lord gives Abram the affirmative answer, because the Lord will not destroy the righteous together with the wicked. No, the Lord makes a distinction. And one thing you need to realize, wherever you are, if you are a child of God, you might be the reason why something is still standing. You might be the reason why people are still thriving. You might be the reason why things are still going well, because the Lord will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. No, the Lord makes a distinction. God would not bring disaster on the whole for the sake of the righteous. I don't know if you're hearing me, because understand that wherever you are, whoever you are among, that you make a difference by simply being there, because the Lord will not bring destruction on the righteous and the wicked. No, the Lord makes a distinction, and even in the destruction, the Lord makes a way of escape for the righteous, and that is Bible. Understand this, while Abraham was speaking with the Lord, he actually was speaking and said, Lord, if would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 50 righteous there? And the Lord tells Abraham, no, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 50 righteous. And then Abraham continues to go down. He says, how about 45? The Lord says, no, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 45. Abraham says, How about 40? And the Lord says, no, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, even though their iniquity has come up to me, even though their wickedness is great. For the sake of 40, I will not destroy them. Abraham goes down to 30, and the Lord says, I will not destroy them for the sake of 30. He goes down to 20. I will not destroy them for the sake of 20. He goes down to 10. And the Lord says, I will not destroy the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteousness. And what you ought to understand from this is not necessarily just Abraham's intercession, but what you ought to understand is that the Lord is righteous in his judgment. The Lord makes no mistakes with what he does. The Lord is always right. The law of the Lord is perfect. He knows what he's doing, and what he's doing is not without reason. The Lord will bring destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah because there are none righteous there, and the only righteous one is Lot. But you know the story, how the Lord destroys the cities. But just before he destroys the cities, he brings Lot and his family out. And one thing that's going to be so important is that the righteous are obedient to the call of God out, because if not, you will be destroyed with the unrighteous. And all that simply means is that you have disagreed with God, and therefore your righteousness, which was imputed by faith, is removed because of your wavering of faith. It's important that we don't misunderstand this, because this has great repercussions. Just as we know Lot's wife, who looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. It's dangerous to lose that respect and honor and fear of God because you don't understand what he's doing. Trust God at his word. Because one thing you ought to realize is that God actually does not take delight in destruction. God is not pleased with when someone continues on in sin and when they are destroyed for their sin. No, the Bible actually lets us know in Ezekiel chapter 18, God is not pleased in the death of the unrighteous. No, God judges because the outcry against them has risen. That means that sinfulness, that iniquity has come to a full, and because that has happened, judgment ensues. It's like the ocean. The ocean is a crazy thing. The ocean has wild waves, but the ocean has boundaries, and God says you can only go this far. But whenever the ocean begins to creep and begins to surpass its boundaries, it usually ends up in calamity, and that calamity often results in a tsunami. We might not experience this on the East Coast of the United States of America, but there are people in the Pacific that experience tsunamis on a regular basis. Why? Because the ocean has crossed its boundary. And because of that transgression of boundary, that's when sudden destruction comes. And that's kind of how God's judgment works. God's judgment is not simply God being angry and just destroying. No, God's judgment is because the sin and iniquity of a particular people group has reached beyond where it should have stopped. They don't put a lid on it. They let it go, and it grows and grows and grows. And finally, when it reaches up to God, God comes down and judges that people. It's the same thing that happened to Egypt. You see, Egypt had become greatly sinful in enslaving the people of God, and therefore, because of the affliction of the people of God, God came down to deliver them, and he came down at the right time because it was finally the time to judge Egypt. It was not unwarranted judgment. Egypt had become wicked. It was once the place that they sojourned in, but it had become the place of captivity. And now God is doing what is right. That's the thing. Everybody gets theirs when God is involved. God is no respecter of persons, whether it is, you know, whether it is all those other people or even his own people. When the measure of sin reaches the max, God brings forth judgment. For his people, he brings correction, but for his enemies, he brings destruction. Listen, there is a crazy balance between deliverance and disaster. And what I want you to leave this one with is not just the taste of disaster, but understanding that God makes a distinction. And God knows how to deliver his people. God knew how to bring plagues on Egypt and how to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, to carry great spoil out of Egypt. Listen, God knows how to deliver the righteous. If you have been faithful to God, if you are in a place that you feel like you're going through it, I tell you, child of God, do not fret, because God knows exactly how to deliver the righteous from judgment. And that's exactly what the Lord says in 2 Peter, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust for punishment for the day of judgment. God knows what he's doing. God can bring deliverance from disaster, but we can't be so one-dimensional in our understanding of God, because with one blow, God often does both things. He brings deliverance and he brings disaster. And though it might be uneasy, it might be uncomfortable with all the gore and the bloodshed, it is not unwarranted. Understand and trust that God knows what he's doing, and God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. No, God makes a distinction, and he knows how to deliver those who are his. Listen. God is in control. And in your Bible, what you will realize as you continue down this journey of not just the journey through Joshua, but in your personal Bible study, I simply wanted to bring clarity to this, that God makes a distinction between the just and the unjust, between the godly and the ungodly, and he will not destroy the wicked and the righteous together. No, God will destroy only the unjust, but he will make a way of escape for his people. You know, and one of the most debated topics, I'll go there, because many see the deliverance of God's people when he returns as two separate events. But in 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that his appearing is also our gathering. That God knows how to reserve the unjust for punishment, and how to deliver his people. God knows how to separate deliverance from disaster, and yet in the same event, he can bring comfort and destruction. I just want to read one passage of scripture before we get off this topic. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says this: "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. You see, in one blow, the Lord can bring deliverance for his people and disaster for his enemies. And so I simply want to land this plane with this. If you are to be among those who are spared, just like Rahab in her household, you must follow the pattern of faith. Because in doing so, you will escape the disaster that's coming, and you will experience the deliverance of God. And so with that, I simply say, I hope this blessed you and brought clarity to your understanding of the God who reigns in both Old and New Testament. So God bless you. We love you. And peace. Thank you for tuning in to the show. This was the Holy Fuel Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, but always remember, His Word is the fuel for holiness.